now that everyone has said who they are. Mm-hmm. Yes, hello, and Charlene is here. Excuse me. Charlene Handel has joined me at my location, so she is here as well, even though you don't obviously see her on the list. And what we thought we would do, Dr. Vargas, did you happen to get that email I sent with the questions? I know I sent it late to you, but I sent it earlier today.
You know, I should have checked my email, but instead of it, well, probably they will call before 10 o'clock, so I don't want to take a chance. So I just sent it onto the Skype, so I have not checked the email, no.
Okay. Well, the ladies, we've all tried to get really organized with a series of questions that we wanted to ask, and we wanted to just have one person ask all the questions, and you answered them, and then if we had any additional questions at the end, then we would open it up to let each person speak individually if that is still required.
Okay.
Okay. So, okay, so what we're going to do here is I'm going to ask the questions, and Charlene is going to write down the answers for us. Okay, so if we're all ready, the first question is this procedure done in an accredited surgical center?
Yeah, they do plastic surgery, cosmetic surgery, and ear, nose, and throat surgery there. Yeah, it's a center that is only, as a matter of fact, they capacitate new doctors in the field of plastic surgery, cosmetic surgery, and head and neck surgery, yes.
And the name of the place, center?
The name, that the place is located on the upper floor of the Agua Caliente complex building in Tijuana, and it occupies two floors, actually, two entire floors, and it's called Centro, I don't know if you can write this down, Centro de Cirugía Cosmética Integral. C-C-C-I.
Do you want to, is there a way you could just type that in to the Skype, if you know where you can send messages while we're doing that, and that way we just have the spelling correct?
You know, I was going to have somebody here help me with this, but I didn't mess up, and I told him it was Saturday originally, but then I thought it was Sunday, but he was at the church, so he couldn't be with me, so
okay.
How I can do this.
Okay. Just say it one more time. Just say it one more time, and we're going
to
do our best.
I'm going to spell it to you. C-E-N-T-R-O.
Okay.
Dr. Centro.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. D-E. This means of.
Okay.
Cirugía. I spell songs the same. C-I-R-U-G-I-A.
Okay.
And then Cosmética spells almost the same. C-O-S-M-E-T-I-C-A.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
And then Integral. Integral is the same spelling. I-N-T-E-G-R-A-L. Unless I have changed the name within the last few months, but I've been going there now since 1986, 87.
Okay, thank you, and I'm just going to move on to the next. Will there be an initial one-on-one health evaluation consultant with each patient with you?
Usually I get the consultations, one of them is for the group. When the group gets there, let's say on a Sunday evening, we all meet at the restaurant of the hotel where they all gather, where they're going to be staying, and I talk to them and I answer all of their questions. The following morning, then, as they go to the clinic to have her blood, you know, taken in the EKGs and whatever the biology, and then I have a one-to-one consultation with them. The procedure starts at about 1 o'clock, so I have plenty of time to see every one of the patients.
Okay. And what is the best way to prepare physically for this procedure? Are there any supplements or medications which should be taken or discontinued?
We encourage the patient to continue taking their medications, even aspirin, because this is not a cutting procedure. Mm-hmm. So if they are taking medications for heart, blood pressure, you know, or any other condition, you know, they have to continue taking their medications. There's nothing that contraindicates the procedure, since it is a relatively mild process. As far as preparing themselves physically, I guess it's the more mental thing, because they're going to be in a room, even I know that later on they get out of the room and they actually become familiar with the surroundings, and some of them might even be brave enough to take a cab and go and sightseeing the town, so, or go to a restaurant. You know, it happens all the time, so there is not really that much of an enclosure, but most of the times you are in the room. So this facility has a gym for those who want to exercise a little bit while undergoing this procedure. It's basically mental, you know, that you got to be lying down most of the times. I would say, you know, get your reading books, catch up to date with your mail. Take your favorite movies with you.
Okay, and this is all when you're in the hotel, right?
Yes.
Okay.
As far as the procedure itself, there's nothing you can do. I mean, if you exercise, obviously, anybody who exercises has a cardiovascular condition, which is a better shape than the one person who does not.
Right. Okay. And. How long have you been doing this procedure, Dr. Vargas?
I actually got it started on this in 1975, but actively doing it since 1979.
Okay, it's about 35 years.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the oldest living guy who's still doing it.
Okay, and yeah, so let's see. Did you create this procedure yourself?
No, I did not create this procedure. This was originally started back. Well, the concept actually came in the late 1800s. And it was perfected over the beginning of the 20th century. But it didn't get to be known until about the 40s, after the war.
Okay.
When one French doctor came to the United States and started to do this in Hollywood back in the 50s, many trained people there, but at that time, you know, it was he was working with a formula that was had some flaws. That's the formula that I learned to do it in 1975 from the person that I was taking the training. But I realized that there was something in the formula that was it was not totally that harmless. So I worked on it, and I came up with this modified formula back in 1979. And ever since then, I implemented some other things along the procedure, you know, to make it safer and to get better results.
Okay. Wonderful. So
I modified the formula. The formula is unique, yes.
Okay, and you're the only one that's doing this. That's the exclusive rights of Novadermy, is that correct?
Yes, I've trained doctors in many parts of the country, yes. Ariel knows all the people that I train also in Israel. So.
Okay, so you train other doctors to do this procedure, but
yes.
You yourself are the primary creator of this modified process.
Yes.
Okay, perfect. And please explain exactly the chemical exactly the chemical, what the chemical does to the skin. Does it remove the top layers to promote new healthy skin, remove scars, etc.?
Well, ever since the this procedure started, there have been two things in the dermatology field that have made a change in history. One of them has been retin A, which is, came out actually much later, you know, for the treatment of spots and improvement of the skin. The other one has been actin A, and has been the second one. And this one actually was before anybody, any of those medicines. Carbolic acid has been in use since the 1800s, and it has to be tamed. It is an acid, but it is a noble acid. It does not inflict any permanent damage on the skin. You need to remove the top layer of the skin if you want the to work on the real skin, which is the dermis. So removing it, all the procedures use an acid. There are many acids, salicylic acid, spectroacetic acid, and you name it. They're all acids. Carbolic acid would be considered one of the strongest ones, but it all depends on what dilution you use it and how you use it. So we have to remove the top layer of the skin. But carbolic acid has another property. It induces permanent changes, you know, for improvement on the dermis. There are several things that happen. One of them, it reorganizes the production of collagen. It induces new vessel formation and a new protein in there, which is hydrophilic. In other words, it retains a lot of the water. The effects actually go beyond the dermis, and the results are permanent. Versus a TCA and many other chemical fields, which only remove the top layer, they do not have any influence on the dermis, and that is why the chemical fields that are done lightly, they do not accomplish this. Other procedures that might remove the top layer, like lasers, they do this to a physical burn. The physical burns destroy the dermis rather than induce So that is why we use carbolic acid as a safe agent, and also because of the long-term effects and beneficial effects that it has on the dermis. So the first step is to remove the epidermis, and we use carbolic acid.
Okay. Thank you. Just 1 second. I wanted to let you know we had someone else join the call, Elena McGibbon.
Hi.
And Elena, we left our video cameras off because it was taking too much memory on the computer. So thank you. Yeah, sorry. And this is Dr. Vargas answering questions that we've created as a list. And once we finish all the questions, if you have any other additional information, questions, you can ask them at that time.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks. And did you have a question?
What acid are you using on the neck and dermatology?
Oh, Dr. Vargas, what acid are you using on the neck and the décolletage?
For those who have, let's say, elastotic skin. Elastotic means it's non-elastic, actually. It has a lot of, an abundance of collagen. The typical example would be like the neck of a Texas Ranger, you know, how it looks like a little puddle that has dried and the mud has cracked. Okay, that is the type of skin due to sun damage. If the skin looks that it, like it has had a lot of sun damage, we would use a thin layer of carbolic acid also on this part. Actually, the treatment goes all the way down to the center of the chest, you know, because of the bone neck presses. And otherwise, we use a TCA solution. TCA stands for trichloroacetic acid, but it's known as TCA.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, thanks. And let's see. What is the expected time frame to see full results?
9 days.
9 days?
And for those who are younger than 50, it's 8 days. Between 50 and 60 is 9 days. And above 60 is 10 days. One day, one extra day for every 10 years.
Okay. Did you get that? Okay. So hold on one second.
I don't understand how they skip in here like that.
Well, that's at the end of the question.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there any downside to this procedure? If so, has it happened to anyone? And how have you handled the situation?
Well, you know, when I train doctors on this, you know, I tell them that we don't put the statistics. You say, well, we're going to operate on this gallbladders, and in the past, and for 20%, it's normal that you lose the patient 20% of the times. Now, these days, you know, it's normal that you have serious complications in 5% of the times, and maybe 1%, you know, the patient would be in danger of dying. I said, there's no such a thing in this. In cosmetic surgery, statistics are also the rules. But in this, there are no statistics, zero. I said, you never think about it, you know, so that is why. In all my years that I have done this, okay, I give the patients of magnifying lens if they want to do that, and they have been absolutely immaculate statistics. There have been no bad ill results of any kind. Some people, the most common complaint that they have is that the skin peels off again on its own. You know, like when you go to the sun, I mean, to the beach, and you have a sunburn, it starts to peel off again, or when you use a cosmetic that didn't fit the skin, it starts to peel off. This happens about 7 days after that, and most of the times it's because the skin has not completely matured, and you put something on it, and the skin is oversensitive, so you destroy again the very top layer. The second thing is redness in some of the areas where we are more aggressive with the treatment. The redness persists for much longer, but in a way, this is a guarantee that the results are going to last longer because the skin in that area is much more hydrated. So, in some cases, if this is annoying to the person, seeing, you know, some of the areas are a little redder than others, they can put a little cortisone on that and calm down the redness. And the third thing, which rarely happens in Caucasian skin, is blotching. If you go out in the sun, you're going to blotch. If you go to the beach, you know, after this procedure, like the first few days, first, I would say, 2-3 weeks, you're going to blotch because the skin is oversensitive, you know, to anything. So it will blotch. The blotching lasts about 4 months to come out. Then the skin will go back to normal. Those are the 3 incidents, you know, that are more typically happen after that, but none of them has any permanent consequences. Sometimes when the patient finishes the treatment, if they made a crack, you know, on the mask, the crack dents a little bit the skin and forms a scab. Well, if the scab forms on the 5th day of the treatment, since the scab takes 7 days at least to come up, the scab is going to be there for another few days after the procedure. So just like a superficial scab, it leaves no residue on the skin.
Okay. Okay, and let's see. Do you guarantee your work? And if needed, redo at no expense to the patient?
That's correct.
Okay. What is the frequency which the patient will be visited by you during their stay?
I had a patient who worked on the movie industry, and she says, can I have this done every year? And I said, well, would you want to have it every year? She says, well, I cannot afford to have a little line in my face at all. So, okay, fine. I said, I have no problem. This is as safe as you can do it. Not every year, actually. You can do it experimentally, 2 weeks apart, one from the other. But in this case, she only did it twice, and she found out, okay, that she did not have the time, you know, 10 days and going through the same process every year was useless. Because her skin actually, to begin with, you know, was flawless still. So it can be done anytime in the softness as necessary. Usually a good treatment like this, with good aftercare, should last, depending on the age of the patient, anywhere from 5 to 15 years. On an average, between 8 and 10 years.
Okay. And let me just re-ask, thank you for answering that, but what we were asking is, how often do you see the patient during the 10 days of recovery? Do you yourself?
Every single day.
Every single day. Okay.
This is what I tell the doctors, I say, and this is why some of the chemical pills and many offices, especially in the United States, you know, had some side effects, because they would do the procedure and make an appointment for the patient for the following week. When they saw the patient the following week, there was nothing else they could do. The damage had been done by neglect. So we see the patients every single day, randomly. The only 2 days where you don't need a lot for the patient. And these are the second day and the fourth day. And the second day, because of the mass, there's nothing you can do, no work to be done. And the fourth day, because you just remove the mass and the skin is swollen, you just have to wait for the skin to settle. But still, we see them every day.
Okay. And
there's a source so that goes that stays with them the whole time.
Okay, do you only do this procedure in Tijuana?
Yes, because Mexico is the only country where I'm licensed to do this, yes.
Okay. And I understand that during the procedure, the patient is put under a twilight sedation for 2 hours?
It's about 2 hours, yes. Now, there is the sedation, the so-called sedation. We do that a lot, you know, but we did it more often in the past with fentanyl and droperidol. But then the problem with those sedatives is that the patient gets a little bit nauseated, disoriented when they're coming out of it. So these days they have a very safe, fast-acting, you know, medication that puts you out completely, and then take your back in no time. You know, in other words, when you signal the doctor, within 1 minute you're up again. This is much safer, this is much better, and we do it at an OR.
Okay, and so is there an anesthesia, an anesthesiologist then that does that?
I have used the same anesthesiologist since 1986.
Okay.
All he does is cosmetic surgery every day. So he's very clear-footed and he knows the system.
Okay. And I'm sorry, I apologize. I know you said the name of the medication, but could you just repeat it one more time of what the drug is that you use?
Well, the ones that we used to use back in the 80s, the 90s, basically the 90s, was propofol. P-R-O-P-O-F-O-L. Propofol. And the other one was obviously a morphine derivative, you know, which is a potent...
Okay, so are you... Sorry, I can't talk.
These days, okay, what he's using is an anesthetic. I don't know the name of it because they change all the time. You know, they go for newer ones. But ever since, I believe, the 90s, they came up to, they developed very good ones that are non-toxic. They're eliminated very easily. You're in and out in no time, and there's no more concern anymore with toxicity from these compounds.
Okay.
So it's much safer.
And if the
product we used to use was fentanyl.
Fentanyl.
F-E-N-T-A-N-Y-L. That combination was called neurolepto anesthesia or neurolepto sedation, but we don't use it anymore.
Okay, so this new anesthesia, does the patient, can you get sick, or does it cause nausea, or?
No.
No?
Okay. It doesn't cause nausea at all anymore.
Okay.
It doesn't cause the reactions that the old anesthesia used to cause, no.
Okay. And so another question is, why are they put under the sedation? Because is that procedure rather uncomfortable?
Sure.
But let me tell you, I had many patients who said, you know, well, I'm tough enough. I had all my children without any anesthetic, you know, and so this is going to be no different than that. So I don't want anything. Okay. We take them into the OR, the anesthesiologist is sitting nearby. 25% down the first step, they say, please put me out.
Sure they do. Okay, we got that one.
This is not an aggressive procedure. It's like when you take hot peppers, and you have pepper, a very hot meal, you know, there is, if you have to eat maybe two bowls a very hot pepper, you know, hot with hot sauce.
Yeah.
You can take a few tablespoons, but as you continue to take it, there's a moment where you said enough is enough.
Right.
I cannot eat any more of it. So when you inflict some stinging sensation, burning sensation, which is burning sensation in the skin, you can only withstand that for a certain length of time.
Right.
You know, past that, you know, absolutely, it wears you down.
Okay. All right, we got that. Thank you. Who or what skin disorders are your best candidate for this procedure?
I would not say disorders, but the best skin to treat is white skin, Caucasian skin. Some of the skin, for example, that are from Mediterranean origin, like Italy, northern Italy is okay. Maybe from Greece, you know, but if they have Arabic blood, or Latin blood, it's a little more difficult. It's a more delicate skin to work with, and the consequence is that they will blotch.
Mm-hmm.
They're very likely to blotch.
Mm-hmm.
And believe me, even though they have no wrinkles after the procedures, they worry more about the blotches, you know, than the wrinkles. So
yeah.
Even though the blotches will go away.
Okay,
so it is.
So yeah. So obviously no.
No olive skin.
Yeah. And
I have had by mistake some olive skin people. Like there was a lady from India once. Say, you know, well, she had light skin, but it was a light skin compared to most of the Indian skin.
Right.
In India, but when she got there, you know, we were not going to turn her back. So we offer her a light treatment for free.
Okay.
Wonderful. So the skin has to, the skin that responds the best is the one that is white.
White.
The Caucasian that has fine wrinkles. You know, that is like thin paper.
Uh-huh. Thin.
The one that resists the most, and dry, by the way, you have it, dry skin responds much better than oily skin.
Huh. Okay, so if people with like hyperpigmentation, melasma, wrinkles, scar tissue, acne, rosacea, they're all good candidates?
I would not treat patients with rosacea.
You would not? Okay.
No. Rosacea is a contraindication as well as psoriasis. Psoriasis.
Okay, so no one with rosacea or psoriasis.
That's right. Also, somebody who has vitiligo.
What's it called? Vitiligo, yeah. Vitiligo? Okay. All right.
Will this smooth wrinkles? I mean, will it smooth scar tissue?
Will this reduce? What if you had
scar tissue?
And hyperpigmentation.
Okay. Where the scar tissue, what happens is, if you notice, right along the scar, there's no pigment. So the scars stand out. On site because they are pale. They have no blood supply. They have only fibrous tissue.
Mm-hmm.
So what this procedure does is by promoting a lot of circulation, there are a lot of blood vessels and capillaries that permeate the scar and give it a pink tone, you know, that blends in with the rest of the skin. That is the advantage. The scar does not go away, obviously, because there's no skin there. But it makes it blend much better with the rest of the skin.
Mm-hmm.
As far as hyperpigmentation, if this is not chloasma, you know, chloasma is called a pregnancy mass, usually in younger individuals.
Mm-hmm.
If it is not chloasma, which obviously I haven't had any party with that because they're usually younger individuals, younger women that are in the stages of pregnancy, most of the hyperpigmented spots, they go away, all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Unless this is the growth, for example, like a sebaceous keratoma, sebaceous adenoma. These are the tags that people have. Some of them are very lumpy, some others are a little flat, but usually they have a rough surface. If a patient wants this, we also do it right along the procedure. We just burn them off, scrape off the layer, and go on with the procedure. But most of the flat pigmented spots, they all go away. They are no match for this process.
Okay. All right. Wonderful. And is there a patient, if a patient has a history of laser and chemical pills, is he or she still a candidate?
They have to know that the skin is very thin now as a result of the previous treatments, and that there is depigmentation. Depigmentation means the skin is usually whiter. The chemical peels were done in the United States during the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and sometimes the 90s, typically will leave a demarcation line right on the neck. While the treatment finished, there was a clear difference in color between the treated skin and the non-treated skin on the neck. And that is because the treatment destroyed the pigment in the pigment cells. That the color will not change. I cannot bring the pigment back. But we do treat him because it has some other areas where the lines are beginning to form, especially if the skin was thinned by the procedure. But there is no contraindication to the process. When we examine the skin and we notice that it is very thin, that it has had sustained the treatments in the past, we usually are milder in those areas.
Like how much CO2 laser?
Is that includes CO2 laser?
Yes.
Okay. So let's see. And what is the level of pain or discomfort? Is there burning? And do you subscribe any pain medication during the first few days? If so, how long? Or do people even need that?
The patient will not feel any pain during the procedure because they are, under anesthesia.
Okay.
The burning sensation would not be tolerated. The procedure takes 2 hours. It's not that during those 2 hours of putting something in the face in the way of a chemical. No. Actually, the second hour, I'm putting a mask. I'm building up a tape mask around the face. And I need for them to be quiet, to be still, so that I can fit those strips of tape all over. So when we finish, they have a tape mask. Pretty much like a mummy, they look. And all over, there are some openings, obviously the eyes, the nose, the mouth. And there might be some remaining burning sensation after we finish the 2-hour procedure for another maybe half an hour. Usually we leave an IV there with some pain medication and an anti-inflammatory to minimize the discomfort.
Okay.
Once the pain dissipates or the burning sensation, they'll sleep the whole night too. They will have no pain absolutely during the time that they have the mask on. On the third day, we'll remove the mask. This is not actually a painful procedure. This is done in the hotel room. We have to pull the tape off. The tape has 4 purposes. One of them, it makes the treatment much more effective on the skin. It protects the skin from any abrasion, or lifting up before it's time. And it allows us also to remove the skin when this is done. And it keeps it from any contaminants, any powder, any dust, in the environment. So when we remove this, the epidermis comes off. It would be like pulling off sometimes, facial hair, because the skin has fine hair, and we remove the tape. Some of that hair is stuck to the tape, so it pulls off from the hair. I will not say it detaches the hair, no, but it pulls the hair on the skin that is inflamed. So it's some discomfort, but there's nothing. Okay. When we, this is when we enter the second phase. The procedure takes is four stages. The first stage is called exfoliation. We have to remove the top layer of the skin, and that takes 2 days actually to accomplish that when we remove the tape that was forming the mask. The second stage is irritation. We have to irritate the skin. That irritation that comes next after the second day is what actually creates the final results of this. Whatever you accomplish in the next 24 hours is going to translate into the final results. How good it is, how long it's going to last. So we have to get the skin somewhat inflamed. We put a powder in there, which is an antiseptic, but that aggravates the skin. And we want to aggravate the skin because that's going to bring circulation all the way from deep inside to the skin, and it's going to reform everything in there. So for the first 24 hours on the third day, you know, there is some stinging sensation. Most of the times the patient is only an antihistamine or sometimes a loop. Pain medication, but it goes away after 24 hours. Those are the only, that's the only time when we tell the patient, yes, you're going to be uncomfortable for this 24 hours.
Okay. Is it 24 hours from the beginning?
So that's 24 hours when you do step two, right?
Step two, which starts anywhere from 42 to 48 hours after the procedure.
Yeah. And it's that next 24 hours of the same after the first 2 days.
Okay, so we're going into the third day.
Yeah, third day.
Okay. Discomfort. Okay.
Yes. And
after 3 days.
Right. What changes would a patient expect to see after the procedure and the skin is completely healed?
First of all, the lines. The wrinkle lines go away. Mm-hmm. The color, it will be very uniform. The skin will be plump and will be elastic and is very sensitive to the touch. In other words, you know, you have a lot of sensitivity because the nerve endings that were withdrawn from the skin all of a sudden went back and they're pretty much like they were 20, 30 years ago. So your skin will have a very young aspect. Some of the some people confuse what is a wrinkle to what is a fold. Like between the nose and the lip, there's a fold. Between the cheek, the nose, and the upper lip, there's a fold in there. That fold is minimized, but it doesn't completely disappear because there is a compartment there below, which is a muscle compartment on the lip. There's a fatty compartment on the cheek, and there's a cartilage compartment in the nose. So that line has to stay there, like the groin, you know, here between the leg and the abdomen. There's a line in there that never disappears regardless of how heavy a person is. Right. So, but the lines around the eyes are the easy ones to go. Any other line, the only line that we don't guarantee to go away are the ones in the neck. And the neck lines do not disappear. They do not improve much because there's a muscle attached to the skin that prevents this from happening.
And how about the skin around the lips? Same improvement with the fine lines?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
We check also this, and along the way we talk to the patients, those patients who have a broad arch, dental arch, and when they smile, the corners of the mouth travel towards the ear far away, and then when they talk and they pronounce the letter O, then the corners of the mouth come close together to the center. So that means that lip stretches and retracts, you know, at least an inch on each side. We tell them how to modify that because eventually stretching the skin back and forth is like a rubber band. You know, after a while, you know, it sags. So that is why we tell them, along with the treatment, we tell the patients what to do to modify those and to prevent that from happening again.
Oh, okay, so you work.
The lines on the lips, everything, you know, goes. Everything goes.
Okay. Thank you. I just want to make sure, I don't know if we've already asked this, but what chemical is used for the face and what chemical is used for the neck? And you already did.
You already did.
Sorry, I apologize. That was a repeat.
No, he just gave it to you.
Yeah, you gave us the answer.
20 patients at the time of this, and somebody gave us that.
And you gave us the answer of 21 also.
What was the chemical makeup?
Oh,
the chemical makeup of the
mask. Oh, yeah. Can you tell us what, I understand that there's a mask involved. What is the chemical makeup of it?
Okay, so if we are done with the 2 hours procedure, there you come out with a mask. We make a tape mask. This tape mask is actually a fabric tape or a paper tape. And it adheres to the skin, you know, and protects it, and it has to be done that way. And you are on that mask for approximately 40 to 48 hours, depending on the results you want to get, depending how old the person is. And depending on how much wrinkles you have. For example, if you want better results, you remove the barrier. This mask stays on at the end of 40 hours, or the second day, I would say. It begins to detach itself in some areas because of the movement of the patient. You know, maybe the patient lied on her face. And he forms a pocket in there. This tape mask comes off at about 48 hours. Then, remember, we have to aggravate the skin. We put a powder. This is an antiseptic powder. And the powder sticks to the skin. And this powder is the one that is going to confer the necessary irritation to the skin to create all the blood vessels, not only within the skin, but also underneath the skin. It also holds the skin very steady so that it heals on a very, with a very even, smooth surface. The second thing is that it holds the skin steady. It does not allow the skin to form any lines. And lately, within the last 2 days of this procedure, it's called the compressive effect of the mask. There's the second powder mask. The first one is a tape mask. This would be like a crust. This crust is going to retract and is going to compress the skin so that you have the minimum amount of skin to cover your face volume.
Okay.
Where did the stem cells come in?
Yeah, when did the stem cells come in? Are they from bovine or plant sources?
These are placental cells from bovine. Placental cells from bovine, and actually there's a placental extracts and the placental extracts and placental cells. What happens is, if you notice, most of the cosmetics back in the 60s, they have placental extracts because placenta stimulates circulation. That's basically the role. It induces a lot of circulation and nourishment of tissues. Mm-hmm. And that is why they use it in creams and lotions and everything they could use it, you know, to improve it on the skin, which it does. Absolutely. Now, when you put placenta over the intact skin, nothing happens because you have a protective layer called the epidermis. Well, right after we pull off the epidermis on the second stage, at the beginning of the second stage, we have a few minutes in which the skin, which is the real dermis, okay, does not have epidermis. So we put the skin cells right there. It's a nice, cool solution. It's very soothing. And it makes the skin feel faster, and it promotes circulation in the skin.
Right before the
Dr. Vargas, is that done right before the powder?
Right before the powder, yeah, and it's applied with a swab. So it's a drop, we drop that on the skin, and we spread it with a swab, yes.
Okay. All right, so let's see, and who removes the mask? You yourself, or a nurse, or?
For 35 years, I've never allowed anybody to do any procedure but me.
Okay.
The only thing the nurse does is puts powder, maybe fix up little things here and there, but any of the procedures, main steps in this, nobody does it but me.
Okay, thank you. And let's see, after the mask. Okay, so
after
that second mask is put on with the powder and the stem cells, how long did you say that was kept on, Dr. Vargas? I apologize. And after that,
like we're ready to go home.
Okay. Going again to the four stages. The first stage, the exfoliation, consists of applying then the acid solution to the face under sedation.
Yeah.
And then the patient goes to the hotel, waits there for between 40 and 48 hours. At that time, then I remove the tape mask. This mask is made of tape, and I pull it off with the intent of pulling off the epidermis.
Right.
Right there, we have accomplished the first step, which is exfoliation. Right after the exfoliation, we put the placental extract on the skin, and then the powder comes on. A few minutes later, the powder comes on the skin, and this powder actually accomplishes all of the following stages, which can be divided in three. One of them is the irritation or aggravation of the skin. We have to irritate the skin. The powder irritates the skin, but also the powder, I mean the skin, is quickly moving towards generating an epidermis. Believe me, it will put a barrier there within 20, 25 minutes. It will put a protein barrier there where you can no longer put anything directly in the skin. So the powder got in there first. So for 24 hours, the skin gets inflamed, the face gets inflamed, which is what we want. And it is also the time when I retouch some areas, some of the very deep wrinkles that people have, you know, that may have not gone away with the first mask. Then I apply a second tape on it, you know, and leave it on 24 hours with the powder. After 24 hours, the pain, I mean, the discomfort goes away, but the inflammation also starts to subside. Another 24 hours go by, and the inflammation is completely gone. There's no inflammation. All the effects that we wanted from an oodermy are there already. Mm-hmm. Now, we just have to make sure that the skin matures. But while maturing, we need to make sure that the skin is still stable. So the third stage is called stabilization. That comes usually at about on the fifth day of the treatment. Between the fifth and the sixth is stabilization, where the powder forms a crust. This crust on the skin layer looks like a powder mask. It's very firm, and it holds the skin steady so it doesn't move. So the skin cells don't get any message where they're supposed to be, or there was a line, because they will begin to form a line if you make one right there. The cells will begin to organize to put a line like a hinge in that area if we allow it to. But the powder mass or the crust would not allow this to happen. So we hold it still for 2 days. Once the skin is healed, once the skin has formed a complete epidermis, after 6 days, 7 days, between 6 and 7 days, in that comes the third stage, where now we need to reduce the size of the skin. And how we do this? We compress the skin. The crust that you have, the powder, retracts, and it actually reduces the extent of the skin underneath, so that when it's ready, and 2 days later, we just put oil on the skin, and the oil releases the powder crust that you have, and underneath is a skin that is nice and tight. Because the last thing that we did was tighten it. It's called the compression phase, or it's exfoliation, inflammation, stabilization, and compression.
Okay.
2 days each.
Okay, thank you. And how does the patient get from the surgical site to the hotel?
Very easily. Like I said, you know, there are no side effects, no after side effects from the basic anesthetic.
Uh-huh.
So they
walk. Oh, they walk.
Mask on?
With the mask on?
Well, you know, we take them by the arm, because most of them are able to see. Those who have a lot of tape on the eye, they have a lot of eyelid skin.
Right.
You know, they might not be able to see. Then we put them on a wheelchair.
Yeah.
So we put them in the elevator. We take them from the 17th floor down to the to the parking lot down below. That complex that has three levels of parking,
mm-hmm.
you know, underneath. So there's a van already waiting for them.
Okay.
We put them in a van. Okay. We take them to the hotel. We put them in a wheelchair, and we wheel them to the elevator and up the room.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you.
Never alone. There's always a nurse with them. When the group is there, there okay. is a nurse that shifts, that stays one night in one room, another night in another room, and she notifies all of them, you know, where she is at, what room she's at, in case they need it, and then she makes the rounds. She makes at least two, three rounds at night okay. on the patients, day and night.
Okay. Let's see. And then you've already told us how long in the hotel, depending on the age, right, that people need to plan on being there anywhere between 9 to 11 days?
No.
No?
Between 9 and 10 days. You know, very seldom somebody okay. is below 50, so they will be 8 days for them to complete. Okay. But most of them are 9 and 10 days, so they will be there 10 days.
Okay. And I apologize, but what... What hotel? Is it a hotel or is it a resort that the people we stay in?
It is a hotel.
It's a hotel. Okay. And
it's a hotel. It is it's called the Lucerna Hotel. I will give you the phone number if you want to call there, and they might probably have I'm here in Korea, so I don't have a brochure of them at this moment, but I know the phone number. You okay. can call them and they can give you the website and you can check out the other installations. They're very comfortable. They're all the hotels that are more elegant than that, but the problem, they're just cubes. There's no way you can get around. This one is nice because it has balconies. You can see the swimming pool. You can see outside the trees, you know. It's nice and quiet. So if the telephone number is dialing from the United States would be 011, which is international access.
Mm-hmm.
They 52, which is the code for Mexico, and the phone number is like any U.S. phone number. It's 10 digits, 3 for the area code and 7 for the phone. These are area code 664-633-3900.
The 39 what zero?
Okay, 011-52-664-633-6900.
Okay, thank you. And I understand there's a formula that everyone drinks. Is this because we aren't?
Well, communication is hard.
We are here.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean. Okay, so because a lot of our clients live here in San Diego, is there any time that you would let a patient go home to recuperate rather than staying in the local hotel?
But then they have to come back here. They have to come back to Mexico for me to check them out every day.
Yeah.
I'm going to go across the border, spend 2 hours going back to the States. I don't know.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. We get that. Yeah, okay. And on to the formula that you drink. Are we drinking this formula because we aren't allowed to chew or able to chew, or does it aid toward the best interest of the skin treatment?
And we yes, the two of them.
Okay.
And all this time, you're not allowed to chew.
No.
I would say, you know, if somebody was very in an urgent situation, you know, just to chew or have a steak, they can have a steak as soon as I remove the tape mask, because there's nothing on the skin. As soon as I put the cells, they have maybe a couple of hours where they can chew and they can laugh, they can do anything they want to before the face begins to stiffen up, you know, the skin begins to stiffen up by the powder.
Okay.
That's the only time. And so that most of the diet is liquid. He also has the purpose of you losing weight, because if you lose weight, the volume of your face is going to reduce. So when we affect the skin to a much smaller area of your face, let's say that you lost 5 pounds, the skin is going to be nice and tight. If you go back to your weight, let's say within 1 month you go back to, you regain this 5 pounds, then the skin is going to be very nice and tight.
Okay.
Secondly, well, the reason also for not chewing is because when you move your facial skin by moving or talking or opening up your mouth, you're going to create lines, and you are going to continually be stretching like a rubber band, remember, the skin. So the mask, which becomes the second scalp mask or the powder mask, is not going to fit. It's just going to get whatever it can hold on the skin, whether you have a skin that is stretched or a skin that is not stretched. We would rather the powder adhere to a skin that is not stretched.
Okay.
So don't crack the skin, I tell people, do not crack your powder mask. And the next thing is, we used to give them a protein drink, but Dr. Tilloran came up with a better formula, because obviously this is his expertise, that will nourish the skin under the second chances and provide whatever the skin needs in the body during those days.
Okay. And the... Are the ingredients on this formula, are they organic or vegan, or you just...
Yes, okay. Yes. He has selected that, you know, that he formulated that, yes.
Okay. And I assume that there would be peeling involved with the skin. How long does that usually last?
What was the word for this?
Peeling, like P-E-E-L-I-N-G. There's peeling.
Oh, that's peeling. There's no feeling, you know. The feeling we do when we remove the mask,
yeah,
we peel off
right.
The skin.
Okay.
And at the end of it, we peel off the powder crust, you know, and that, but the skin will be there.
Yeah.
Unless somebody, it happens sometimes, you know, with one or two patients, and we tell them, please do not remove the crust. We put the oil, like, and leave the powder mask soaked in oil, sort of like Vaseline. It's not Vaseline, but it looks like Vaseline.
Mm-hmm.
And as it gets softer, then the patient gets encouraged, and they see that some of the pieces start to come off by themselves, so they start pulling them off. But there's a point, you know, where they are stuck, and they don't realize, and they pull off a brand new epidermis. And when they do that, okay, then that's 7 days for that spot to heal. Actually, 6 days for that to heal. So we tell them to please do not pull off this, even if you think that it's completely loose. Don't do it. All nurse and I can do it.
Okay. We got that straight. Okay. And when can actual, like, makeup be worn after this process? Once you leave, or?
24 hours after. When the treatment is completed, we leave an oil layer. So patients go home with an oily face. The oil protects the skin from, like, brand new skin from oxidizing.
Okay.
I'll give you an example. If you have a scab and you pull it off before it's time, it bleeds because you detach the epidermis that was forming in there, the top lining.
Mm-hmm.
But if you even wait, let's say, longer, and some people are very picky, they can't stop picking on the scab. So finally, one day, maybe the 7th day or the 8th day, they succeed in removing the scab without creating a bleeding. Notice that how shiny the skin looks in there. Well, that skin, believe me, upon contact with the air, is going to die, and it's going to peel off. And a new one will be underneath until you leave it alone.
Okay.
So this skin is brand new. It oxidizes, especially the areas that are red. The skin will be damaged by sudden exposure to the air. So that is why you put an oil in there to keep it another 24 hours from oxidizing. After that, then you could put makeup. But we will tell you all along, every day I tell you what's going to happen the next day or the next following days. And at the end of it, you know, you're given written instructions as to two things. How to care, you know, for the until the skin is completely healed, you know, or in other words, you know, there's no inflammation in it, all the way to how to prevent the lines from start forming again.
Okay. We're almost done, I promise. Let's see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Will there be any need for touch-ups? If so, how often?
The touch-ups are usually done along the treatment. When we notice in the patient before we start some areas that will be needed to be touched, such are the lips. The upper lip, for example, you know, those deep grooves in there, they have to be retouched. Not only retaped, but retouched. What I mean by retouched is, believe me, the formula is so harmless, that even when we detach the tape and remove the epidermis on the second day, and the skin looks like, you know, when you pull off a scab, you know, and the skin is right there. Or when you scrape the skin, it doesn't bleed, but it's, mm-hmm. it is raw, practically. We apply again some of this acid in there, right there, and put more tape on it and give it another 4 hours to plump up those lines.
Oh, God.
It doesn't hurt. It stings because the formula has alcohol. Some alcohol in there. So it gives you a stinging sensation, like when you put alcohol on a scrape, it gives a stinging sensation for about 10 seconds.
Oh, okay.
It goes away and it doesn't
shoot me.
Yeah.
That's
good.
What we touch.
Okay.
And, in the future, when after this procedure is done and you perform it as well, I still have a little lines here. Yes, the retouch can be done anytime after that. There should not be any need if you take care of them and you follow the instructions. But if somebody says, well, it's been 1 year and I'm getting some lines in here, okay, so there will be a retouch. Yes, we can do a retouch.
Okay. And are other physicians doing this in the States?
No, because they don't have the formula.
That's right.
You see, the problem is, in the United States, carbolic acid was integrated in the formulation back in the 60s, right after this became known from France, and a doctor named Baker, out in Florida, legalized a formula which he gave his name, Baker's formula, which has carbolic acid, but it's a very harsh one, very harsh one. And that's the one that created all the problems. Even on the best hands, when you use that formula, you're bound for trouble.
Oh.
One in every 10 patients, at least, is going to have serious problems with it. And that is why it became so unpopular. The second thing is the program that was in this, you know, was one that was rather loose. You would do the patient with a mask, tape mask on the face, and just come back in 2 days for me to remove it. They'll remove it and just put this oil or this ointment or whatever in your face and let me see you in about 10 days. And that was the problem. This treatment needs close supervision. Close supervision.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, thanks. And can you tell us a little bit about yourself? Are you an oncologist and why do you offer this service?
Well, when I was in the oncology hospital back in 1975, there was a person from L.A. that was training a doctor there at this hospital, and I was their assistant. I became their assistant.
Mm-hmm.
Later on, I became the one who looked after them on the aftercare. I did not do the main procedure and the OR. That I would do the follow-up. They would entrust me with the patients in this for that 1 year. As I continued, you know, on the oncology field, and apparently this person from L.A. decided to work with me. He says, I will give you the full training and we'll go on this. There was actually something that I objected about the formula. Even though she was the main treating person, there was something about the formula, so I decided to go on my own, modify the formula, and when I arrived at this formula back in 1979, I decided to continue. At that time, you know, a lot of people were looking for this, and there were only two people that were doing it, this doctor that she trained and myself. So as the other doctor concentrated more on his hospital. He was the medical director there. Then they started to come my way, so I continued to do them. And in 1982, after I completed 3 years in this at another oncology place, I just continued to do it. You know, people continued to organize groups, you know, and continued to see me. So that's why, you know, I just stuck here.
Okay, and perhaps we may have misunderstood one of your emails, but are you planning to retire from doing this procedure soon, or are you?
I'm 60 years old.
You're how old?
I'm 60.
Okay.
Oh, young.
You're younger than me.
Young, okay. So,
and basically, you know, one of the reasons is we are trying to get the protocol, the cancer protocol that we have built through many years here. They have accepted 5 of them, and they have putting enough of practice here in Korea. We're coordinating some of the efforts here, and we will be traveling throughout the world, you know, to these are actually, you know, innovative procedures. For example, nobody ever conceived that you can treat a lymphoma patient for only 2 weeks. He would not even lose his weight, and he would be cancer-free for 10 years, you see, with only 2 weeks treatment. Nobody would conceive that we, since 1979, when we started this at a heart cancer hospital there, this protocol for breast cancer, that we would never have, to this date, after 32 years, one breast cancer come back locally. So they're curious about some of the aggressive cancers like sarcomas, for example, that we sometimes don't even use chemotherapy, and the treatment is much more potent than that. So that's what these people are interested in. So helping this kind of people is another story, you see. So I told Adil, I said, you know, if you know somebody who wants to learn this technique, you know, have him join me, you know, I'll train him, and he will continue this, you know, it's going to be a legacy. There's nobody else, you know, that is doing it this way. I did train people in Israel, yes, I did train these people, and they, I don't know what they were, how they were doing it. I think that they were starting to cut corners at one time, and they had a lot of problems because of that, so who does it now there, I don't know.
Yeah.
That was the most successful program, I understand, that they had in Israel, the doctor that I trained. But I will eventually continue to do this, okay, until somebody else takes the baton.
Okay, so that's good to know. Okay, let's see. And then we're wondering, I already asked about the physicians doing it.
Yeah.
Is this procedure FDA approved?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Theoretically, when you do a clinical trial in the States, you use carbolic acid, that's the standard formula. But then you have to say that you're using Baker's formula, Dr. Baker's formula. Well, there's it, and everybody is running away from that because that gives, in other words, the mobility means creating problems. The mobility of that formula is high. So that is why most people change immediately to the laser. But the laser is a physical burn. Physical burns do not improve the skin. You know, you need something to stimulate the skin. Like when you rub a hot pepper on your skin, it gives a stinging sensation, but there's no scarring of it. If anything, you know, it would even improve the skin, makes it thin, and it creates more circulation. So this formula that I have uses some of the same principles, but it's a different formula. Now, if somebody said, well, can I use this formula in the States? Is it registered? No, the formula is not registered in the States. The Baker's formula, it is. The procedure itself, it is. So it is done, it's been done in the States all along. It has lost popularity because of the side effects of the 2 reasons that I gave you.
Okay, almost done. Is it possible to visit the surgical center and hotel prior to the procedure? And, of course, that just pertains to the people here.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, let me give you the phone number. Hold on. I'll get you through it. This is a very nice facility, but we have access to many other places. As a matter of fact, this time there is a facility that is closer. The blind meeting is called the San Diego Clinic, and it's closer to the to the hotel where you're going to be staying. The other one is about, I would say, half a mile away. This one is about 3 blocks away. It is brand new and everything, so I think that I'm going to be doing this at this time. But if you want to visit both, I'll give you.
Yeah, if you could give us both, we're writing it down. Thanks.
Let me see. The one where we normally do it, which is on the 17th floor of the Agua Caliente Center, Torres de Agua Caliente, it's called. That's where they have the Grand Hotel. You know, there are two towers. One of them is the hotel, and the other one is an office building. So it's a second tower.
Okay, look, I'm sorry. If you can repeat the name.
Agua Caliente Plaza.
Agua Caliente Plaza.
Agua Caliente Plaza, that's
actually in Spanish, it's Plaza Agua Caliente. You know, first it's a plaza and then Agua Caliente. What you do in order to get there is you tell them to take you to the Grand Hotel. Grand Hotel. When you get off there in Grand Hotel, you'll see there are two buildings. One of them is the Grand Hotel, which has 80 stories, and the other, the Twin Tower, which has the same amount, the same amount of stories, is the office building. It's in that office building. It's on the 17th floor. They have the 16th and 17th floors completely, but the reception is on the 17th floor.
And the telephone number, do you have that?
Yes. Again, you know, it's the 011-52-664, which is the one area 664. And the telephones, let me give you three of them. I don't know if they change one of them or whatever. It's 681-7992. The other one is 681-7054, and the other one is 686-8120.
So
there, Dr. Vargas is going to do a procedure there, so that you want to see the facility there more than that.
Okay, so that's the facility. We have
okay.
A telephone number
to the Eastern
Hotel.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, the other one, I would give you the other, I don't have a telephone of the other, the San Diego clinic, which is actually a hospital also.
Okay.
That's closer to the Lucerna. That's newer. It is very, very convenient. So when I am there at the end of this month, I'm going to check it out. But I will give you the phone number way before that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
So the fact that you come in the San Diego area at the end of this month, we can organize a little tour.
Oh.
And go and see this facility.
Okay.
The end of this month. Nice.
Okay, that would be great. And are there any extra expenses that we should be prepared for besides the besides the cost, which that's the part that I'm confused because Dr. T told me it was $7,800 and that the website has not been updated because the website says $7,400.
It has nothing to do with the finances.
Okay.
You're totally in charge of it. You know, you tell me, okay, this is what it is. He collects, he distributes, you know,
okay.
He pays for the OR, he pays for the, you know, he pays for all of the expenses, he pays for my services, so he is the one.
Okay,
you know.
And just so all the people on the call knows, it's $7,800 for the procedure. The other expenses, my understanding, is the hotel stay, and on the website, I believe it says it's about maybe $100 a day if you have your own room, but you can share a room, and it's half that.
Yes. I understand that if you share a room, you pay only for one room.
Yeah.
So the rooms are about $90.
Yeah, $90.
$90 a day. Yeah,
yeah, for your own room. Okay. So we have that, and then what dates available for the next group? For your next one that you're going to be doing the next procedure, what dates do you have set?
Well, I don't really know. My schedule is up in the air here. I've been staying here now for about a month and a half.
Uh-huh.
And we have a lot of things here to do, so I'll be going back and forth, from California to Korea. I'll be staying most of the time here. We have a couple of hospitals in Indonesia also that we need to address. We're getting Japan, we're getting China, and Philippines also wanted us to do this. Canada is also starting to do some research in this, so who knows what it is. What I can do is I can mark on the calendar these days, okay, before anybody else gets in, because I don't know what I'm going to be when.
And how many patients do you need in order for you to confirm a group date?
I can only do 4 patients a day, and the ideal thing is to do between 7 and 8, between 6 and 8, 8 maximum, 6 minimum. The reason is we start at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the evening. And why? Because we do most of the testing on Monday morning, for example, but also because of the timing. If I am going to remove someone's mask at about 40 hours, and if I start the patients at 8 o'clock in the morning on Monday, I'm not going to be there at, how can I say, at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
Now, usually the mask will be removed. So that is why we start the treatments in the afternoon. So I can only, it takes 2 hours for patient. By the time we get another one, whatever, another half an hour goes by. So if I start at 2 o'clock, I usually finish by around 11 o'clock doing 3 or 4 patients.
Okay. And
on the third day, I cannot involve myself in doing any more because I need to be taking the masks off. So that's in the way.
Okay, and the last thing I think before we can open it up to is, do you have any more information which you think we should know? Did we miss anything?
Well, I think that you have basically asked the questions. One of the things that I would say is, on the questionnaires, obviously, we're not doing people who are diabetic and who have rather unstable diabetes, and where it's not stable. Some people are taking their medication, they're pretty much stable, but some others need to take additional insulin. We will not take people who are on insulin because that makes it very unreliable.
Okay.
We will not take people who are hypertension, where the blood pressure has not been stable or tends to fluctuate. We will not take people who have lymphoma, for example, because since they're going to be with their eyes closed most of the time, if you have a what is called a close angle lymphoma, then it's going to promote that. Even some people who might be claustrophobic, believe it or not, I not like the idea of not being able to have the eye fully open.
Okay.
And we have had some things, where we have to implement some things, to make sure that the eyes remain open. Or also people who have autoimmune diseases, like lupus, scleroderma, any of these conditions, systemic autoimmune diseases, that may interfere. Even people who have colitis, for example, imagine an episode of colitis there, with the mask on, how you end up in a hospital with that face.
Okay.
people. We don't do not take hypnotic people.
What was the last one?
Asthma. Patients who suffer asthma.
Okay.
Asthma. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But the hepatitis is one that we ruled out also.
Did you say hepatitis?
Yes, hepatitis.
Okay.
Hepatitis. Patients that are HIV positive.
Yeah.
And this is because all of them are together, sometimes they gather together in one room, you know, they touch things to one from another, so we want to make sure that everything, in all aspects, this is a safe procedure for the patient. This is not a procedure that they have to go through, this is what's called elective, that means patients choose to have those things, so you've got to help the individual for this, you have to take no risk.
Okay, we're at the point where we've gotten all of our questions answered, and we do want to thank you for taking all this time to do this. And if you're okay, and I know we've been on the call for an hour and 24 minutes, if I just want to let each participant that's been on the call, to, if there's something we've missed or if you need to talk with Dr. Vargas, I can either let you do it now and Dr. Vargas can do a one-on-one with you if you're not comfortable with asking something in front of us. I mean, I don't know. I should probably ask Dr. Vargas if he's open to that or emailing him.
Why don't they ask you the question? If they come up with a question, let's say tomorrow, day after tomorrow, and you email that to me, I could either call you or I can email you the answer.
Okay. And was there anything, I know Anne was a little concerned about her situation. Anne, do you want to address that or take it offline? Or?
Well, no, I'm fine to address it now. And I had some really fast questions, like is the water in the room filtered so that we can mix it with the ultra rice meal?
Most of these facilities have bottled water. In other words, when you get to your room, they have a couple of bottles in there. Some of them, like the Grand Hotel, you can drink water right from the faucet because there's one special faucet, you know, that is for drinking. It's for drinking. But the Lucerna does not have that faucet, so they provide you with bottled waters. But we, because the patients, and according to the specifications of Dr. Tellorin, the patients end up drinking a lot more water than the 1 liter that they put for every person there. We bring gallons of water. This is bottled water. Arrowhead or Sparkling, whatever. There's always a big supply of this water. This is the water that you drink. You don't drink from the faucets.
Okay, and because of the mask, do we brush our teeth or just wait till the end of the 10 days?
You are going to be eating anything, you know, there's liquid through a straw, actually, and then when it comes to cleaning the teeth, we provide you with long Q-tips. These are Q-tips that are long, flexible, and you use a mouthwash, and you swab your teeth with this, with the swab.
Okay. They say that you hire someone to pick us up in San Diego and take us to Tijuana and take us back for our air flight. How do we get that flight information to you?
I believe that Carolyn, you know, would gather that information. Once she has that information, then there are drivers to the companies that will pick you up in San Diego and drive you and take you to Lucerna and back to the airport when you're done.
Who is this person and how do we contact that person?
No, you give all the information to Carolyn.
Okay, but...
Carolyn, okay, thank you. I'm sorry, doctor, I didn't understand the name. Okay, fine. I had two other questions. One of them, do we bring, you said about the last 2 days of oils, do we buy some oil from you to get us home those 2 days, or do we use our own oils? Is it in your information, a dermatologist or somebody like that, an esthetician, would spend a half hour going over things with us?
You go back with everything that you need. You don't need to bring anything, just the pajamas.
Perfect. Okay. And how about a small mole on your face? Will that be taken care of at the time?
If it is a mole, a true mole, no. We did not address that. And the reason that is they need to be cut out. A mole, you cannot burn, you cannot poke, you know, you cannot sand. A mole, if you want to get rid of it, you have to cut the skin around it. And that is an incision. And with the mask on, you know, there's a risk, you know, on that. So we leave them alone. But if it is a tag, for example, it's a tag, it is not a mole, it's a sebaceous adenoma, sebaceous keratoma. Any of these growths that come, like, in the back of people here, you know, on the neck, we'll take care of them. We usually burn them.
Okay. And the last thing, Doctor, is about the 21st or so of last month, I was speaking to Tamara, and she gave me actually your wife's phone number because I told, it's on your website that your next meeting was December 5th. And I told her, I said, I want to buy my ticket, but I want to make sure that everything's okay. So she, I don't know why she said so, but she spoke to your wife and said that I should bring a wide brim hat home and gave me some other things. And she told me, then she gave me your number, which happened to be your home phone number. I didn't know that. I called it. I talked to your son. Then he told me your wife was in Mexico at a wedding to call back. And I called back and left a message for your wife. But I had bought my ticket, and your wife apparently had told Tamara to tell me to get it a day early. So I bought a ticket to arrive on December 4th and to come back on December 15th, which is really 11 days. I don't know why Tamara told me to go ahead and do that, but that's where I am.
Well, usually we have at least two groups going on in the year. There was one before Christmas that was done in November, and the other one was in February. Traditionally, they have been. And why it does science? Because there's less sun. If we do them during the summertime, you know, the people will flush the skin sometimes going out in the sun. So that is why we do close to the winter time, but not exactly at Christmas time because everybody is busy there, so we do it before and after. So those were the 2 days. Now, why Tamara could not organize a group for November, I don't know. I guess you were one of the persons that were going to be participating in the December group. But then, I don't know what happened to her, or I don't know the story. All of a sudden, there's an isolated patient that wants to have done the procedure done on December, you know, but there's only one, and there's Tamara that nowhere to be contacted. So that is why I mentioned to Carolyn, and I said, you know, there's a stranded patient here.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's me. Mm-hmm. That's true, I'm stranded.
Had I known that I'm going to be there for fat in those days, probably, yes, you know, I could take care of it. But you see, when I commit to one group like this, I can't get out of town. I stay in town. I stay around. I don't go any place. I don't make any commitments because my commitment is to visit the patient on a daily basis. And I walk across the border and go back to California, where I live. And because these days you cannot rely on driving back and forth. You're just not, the border is not reliable. You know, it can take you 15 minutes, it can take you 3 hours. So that is why most people walk across the border, walk back and forth. But when you get a transportation, you know, they have a line specifically for tourism, you know, which they don't go through those delays. In the case of just what I'm trying to say, okay, you know, there might be a possibility that I can still leave, but doing one at a time involves, you know, a whole effort to warn people, which, you know, I don't mind. I mean, but I just thought, you know, I will refer you to Carolyn to see if she can match you up with the group. Actually, there's a much more comfort, you know, the groups get along very well. So whatever the decision is, you know, they will let me know.
Okay, Doctor, thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Let's see. Elena? Elena?
Do you have any questions for Dr. Vargas? Elena? Hello? Well, I'm not sure where she went. She's in the petition. So, Dr. Vargas?
Yes?
Do you hear another woman, Elena, speaking at all?
No, I see her name.
Right. Yes.
She's still online.
Yeah, I know she's still online. I wonder, maybe she just had to step away for a minute. And we know Ann and one of the other ladies did drop off the call. So, Charlene, did you have any others?
Yeah.
No,
Ann's still here. I'm still here.
Yeah, I know you're Ann. But I was just going to tell Dr. Vargas and Ann, I'm not sure that this group in San Diego is going to want to do proceed in February. There was a possibility of doing a February date, the 7th or 8th, and they have to talk. So what I can do is, you know, get back to you in about a week or so and see if we can get enough ladies here to make this be a for sure group in February.
But none of them can make it on December 5th?
No.
Nobody's
prepared for that, unfortunately. No, it's a month from now. Yet one more question from Charlene.
Keep in touch with Charlene because if I don't need to come back soon, if I know that I'm going to be on the 5th in that area, once I get to the 5th of December, I don't think that I'll be making a trip here for the rest of December, because it's Christmas time and I have spent a lot of time here. So if I am in that area, if I know that I'm going to be for sure, you know, in that area through most of December, you know, we might be able to arrange something.
That would be wonderful.
How old are you?
I'm 67.
67, okay. Yeah. Okay.
I have pretty good skin.
Are you healthy? I saw your questionnaire, you know, in the front of the
book. Yeah, I'm very healthy. I'm not on any medication. I just had my blood work done. My cholesterol, and I'm no medication, is 118, and my good HDL is 72. My triglycerides are 63, and everything's normal. He said my thyroid was a little low, but I didn't see it, so I don't know what he means by that. But I have a lot of energy, so I'm very healthy.
Okay, well, as I said, stay in touch with Carol, and once I know for a fact, I will know what my schedule is in about 2 weeks. If everything is going well and I know that I'm going to be there for most of December, you know, I believe that we might be able to take you in as an only patient.
Okay, well, I'm going to talk to a friend of mine in Naples, too, and see if I can get her to join me.
Mm-hmm.
So his mother is from Florida?
Elena.
Pardon me? Can you hear me?
Yes, Elena, we can hear you.
Is Anne from Florida?
No. Well, go ahead, Anne.
Yes, I will be in Florida. I'm leaving St. Louis on the 11th. I live 6 months in Florida and 6 months in St. Louis.
Mm.
So, Elena, are you in Florida?
No, I'm not from the year, but I know many people in Florida. And
So
if maybe somebody would be interested in doing this, that's probably too close of a call. December 5th, you say, right?
Right.
Yes. Maybe you would like to go, Elena.
Yes. Okay. I would love to do that one day, but it's just I just got to know about it not long time ago. So I will talk to Carolyn about it.
Yeah, Elena is an esthetician, and that's why I invited her to listen on the call.
Oh, good.
Yeah. And anything else, ladies? I just want to honor, he's been on the phone with us an hour and 40 minutes.
I have one quick question I was going to ask him when I was with him, but you talked about scarring, so, you know, I have a couple pock marks from my childhood, but what happened about 15 years ago or so, I had that dermabrasion on my upper lip, and I didn't know, and I guess I didn't wasn't supposed to go back to the doctor, but I kind of like a blister formed, and as that blister formed, it shrunk, but it left a puffed up scar, a puffed up mark. It's not a scar that goes into the skin, it's a puffed up mark sitting on top of the lip. You think your procedure will get rid of that?
If it is above the level of the skin, yes. If
it is.
No.
No, it is above the level of the skin.
Okay, if it is above, what we're going to do is going to fulgurate that area, level it, and then the procedure, the novocaine will even up the color. It will be practically unnoticeable then.
Wonderful.
Okay.
Well, you're a miracle worker, and we're just all so blessed that you're here on this earth to help us, because I feel when you look in the mirror and you feel you look young, it makes your whole day you feel young. So thank you for helping us.
My pleasure.
Okay, and like we said, I'll send you any other questions, Dr. Vargas, via email from anyone else, and I'll let you know as soon as we know if we do have a group for the February time frame.
Okay, very good.
Okay, and thank you. I don't know what happened to Dr. T. He may not be near a computer where he can get to us, but I'm sure he had the best of intentions of trying. Yeah.
Okay. You all have a nice weekend.
Okay, you
thank
too.
You, thank you.
Bye, group.
So much.
Thank you. Let me just hang up the phone.